Hey, what's poppin'? What's poppin', everybody?
Ugh. Worst greeting ever.
Hey, I keep hearing that guy's not gay. He is gay. He is gay. There's nothing wrong with it. He's fucking gay.
I thought there was video of him, like, getting it on.
Yes, there is.
Well, not video of him getting it on, but him at the hotel.
Yeah, he's making out with a guy in the hallway or something, right?
Does that make you gay?
I don't know. He's been to Pulse like 50 times.
You just make out with a guy at a hotel that's known for hookers and drugs and a seedy motel?
I think when you greet people with, "What's poppin'?" I think that's an indicator. I don't know. I just thought that maybe there was political correctness was creeping in and they just wanted to say that he wasn't gay because it... I don't know why.
Oh, man, I came across the...
Because a straight person would have committed the crime instead of a gay person, which is better.
Sure.
If there's a crime and it's committed by a straight person, that's politically more correct than a gay person committing a crime, right?
Well, only if it's a male, a white male, right, I guess?
That would be the optimum. That would be the most politically correct outcome. Is it a white male commits the crime?
I was reading a story. I think the Washington Post had a story
about... That's Justin Timberlake.
Oh, I know. Why is that a story?
I'm not sure. I thought the story was the rant. Which,
absolutely.
By the way, got thumbs up all around the block. No one even questioned the rant. The rant was pretty bloody. I thought it was a bit broad brush, too.
Drew, I totally agree. But what's funny is Timberlake puts out a tweet, and everybody attacks the tweet, and it kind of proves the guy's point of what the attention goes on.
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of helped him prove his point.
That was just bizarre. I mean,
yeah, you're talking about the BET Awards, right?
The BET Awards, and the guy that won the Humanitarian Award, and what he said. Let me see if I can find the exact quote.
It's a really, really long, impassioned speech.
And they're only playing that one part, which may be, you know, a little deceptive for someone like me who just saw the one part.
You're talking about co-opting black culture?
Yes. Well, this thing comes along called whiteness. As he put it.
I
guess I'm not allowed to be offended by
isn't
such
it just,
things.
Isn't it just culture anymore? Are we allowed to experience all, if we're all unified, are we allowed to experience each other's cultures? Right?
I thought it was a compliment. I mean, except when people are outright stealing it without giving any credit and
true, which you know, white people did for years.
Well, in the 50s and early 60s, it was ugly in that regard.
Of course.
But, you know, you did have people come along like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles who talked about how much they idolized the Chuck Berrys and the Fats Dominoes and the people that came before them and the Stones.
But then again, we did just see, you know, Zeppelin and what Jimmy Page stole.
Oh, well, true.
Although
those people did get some credits eventually, some of them, on records.
Eventually.
Yeah. No, that's crap.
Can I call anybody a racist?
But I wish I could find the full text of what he said, because I just thought it was... first of all, I keep seeing how everybody's thumbs upping it, and did he hit the nail on the head? And I'm like, wow, really?
Trying to find the full text.
Not that I didn't agree with some of what he was saying, but it was such a brutal broad brush, and it was like... As a white person, I sort of felt like, well, I'm just a dirty white person walking around here. I'm just a nasty, dirty white person. Actually, the audio's online. If you want to just play it. Oh, okay, here you go. We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo. And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit. The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real.
What? I'm lost. I don't understand.
What? And that's the comment that people loved. That's a Humanitarian Award winner. And that's the comment that was getting all the thumbs up.
That comment seems quite divisive.
At a minimum.
Yeah. Whatever.
Old shitbag Whitey And Justin Timberlake says, moved. And I want to go, fuck you, Timberlake. What do you mean moved? How did that move you? Could you please explain to me?
Inspired.
His Jesse Williams' his mom is white, by the way.
Oh, okay. So
nice throwing her under the
bus.
Mom's
a piece of shit, too.
Apparently.
But Timberlake says moved and just gets pummeled. Well, just gets brutalized.
It's where he said it. You know that.
What?
It's where he said it on Twitter. Of course he's going to get pummeled for it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
What does he expect? Actually, the funniest part about that whole story is Timberlake's tweets after he got hammered.
Oh, I know. He's just trying to kiss his way, kiss like ass his way out pussy. Of it. He did. He sounded like the biggest pussy.
You guys know what I meant? You guys know?
But I thought he was trying to ass kiss his way into the thing in the first place.
Yeah, well, what? Because maybe he was moved.
He was not moved.
Come on, honestly.
How could you be a white person and be moved?
What is Timberlake stolen from the black culture community? Because he does soul music?
Because he writes dance music?
So
he does music you can dance to, so therefore he steals from black people.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand that aspect.
Crazy dancing making my penis soft.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But am I out of my mind? I feel like I'm the only person who took any offense whatsoever until Mark got here.
Well, I saw it.
Like I'm walking around crying or anything. I just thought it was
I saw it and thought it was a little weird. I don't know. I wasn't offended by it.
You didn't find it to be a little broad brushy?
Of course it's broad brushy. Absolutely it's broad brushy. Is that a word? Broad brushy?
Yes, it is now.
But isn't it weird coming from a guy that's...
The Humanitarian Award winner?
Well, no, but he's on Grey's Anatomy, which, is written and directed and produced by a black woman, and it's incredibly successful, and everybody loves it. I find it odd that it comes from him. And to be fair, I don't know his background. I don't know what he even won.
I didn't know anything about him until he made that speech.
I don't know what he even won the Humanitarian Award for. So I don't know what he's seen. I don't know what he's done. But he's been on a very successful minority-run show. It just seems kind of weird that he seemed very angry and bitter about it.
Well, I think a lot of people have trouble taking lectures from people who are in that kind of position. Because it's sort of like, well, no, wait a second. You're not doing so bad. Doesn't mean that they've never experienced any sort of discrimination in their lives before. You know, Oprah Winfrey is another good example. A lot of people, I think, feel that being lectured to by this billionaire, about how tough she's had it.
Well, that
is
room
a little hard to take.
That room at the BET Awards, and he, I think, at one point in his speech, he made comment about that, about how they have money or whatever, but it just seems shallow coming from that room. Is there racial inequality? Sure. Are there people out there suffering?
Are the people in that room suffering?
Absolutely not. And that's really kind of, why it would rub people the wrong way.
And, I was just, it's funny, I was just reading about the Texas affirmative action story. The court just ruled that Texas is going to maintain affirmative action. Uh-huh. And I was reading a lot of the comments about that. And I was amazed that no one made the statement. This is my opinion on affirmative action now. I feel it's a socioeconomic thing. I don't feel we're talking about just black people or just any. I think we're just talking about people who've been left behind. It doesn't matter. All white people are not getting it, are not getting over.
No.
There's quite a few who are left behind.
I think the income inequality is the bigger problem. Now, does it disproportionately affect minorities? Sure. Yeah. But I think that's the bigger...
But to say that we're only going to try and help people who are minorities doesn't seem fair to me.
The problem with that speech, though, is it makes it seem like all white people are racists.
Exactly. And all white people are stealing something. Or burying people, burying black people.
Because Jesse Williams was also saying that it's not okay for us to speak out in public, which...
When?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not keeping anybody down. He just spoke out in public.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was black.
I don't understand what the problem is. I don't know. Maybe he had a chance to speak out and someone wouldn't let him talk.
I don't know. I don't think his viewpoint has any problem being heard whatsoever.
Are they really?
And I'm not denying him his right to say what he wants to say. That's fine.
Are people in that room?
I will defend to the death his right to say it.
I think those people in that room have said what they want to say. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm not black. I'm not even going to try and figure it out.
Well, I got to tell you.
But I don't like being painted as someone who's going to keep somebody down solely because of the color of my skin. Seriously.
Well, I'll tell you.
Sorry if I offended you.
I was having a conversation.
It's good to be offended.
I was having a conversation with someone about this very subject and related to the OJ series and the OJ verdict and, you know, how white people don't understand it and, you know, you have to be black to get it. And I was trying to make the point that I think what a lot of people miss is this feeling among, because white people really don't speak out. They feel afraid to speak out because, oh, I don't want to tread into that territory. I'm just going to get in trouble. And I understand that because, you know, it is a delicate subject. But there are a lot of people who, in this day and age, white people, who I think where you have some divisiveness, or not all divisiveness, but some divisiveness comes from this feeling that, hey, wait a second, when you start talking about things like slavery and separate but equal, drinking fountains, bathrooms, stuff like that, if you're 40 years old or you're 30 years old, you're going, I wasn't even alive for that.
Yeah.
You know, why am I being pounded by it? What am I? Why do I have to be the one that's supposed to do something about it when I didn't do it?
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
It's kind of like Bill Clinton apologizing for internment of, was it Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, who apologized for interring Japanese during World War II?
Wasn't that, I wanted to say it was Clinton.
I think it was Clinton, too. Yeah. But, I mean, that sort of pissed me off. It's like, wait a second. Wait.
Well, it's starting from this assumption that all white people are racist.
Well, yeah, and that we're all somehow together in this stuff. Or
that was another part of his speech he was talking about regarding the cultures, that it's making money for white corporations.
No.
I don't know how he wants me to respond from that. Yeah, are there people out there suffering? Yep, black, white, Asian, Latino. There's a lot of people out there struggling. Are you guys giving back to them? I don't know. Raise money from that room. I just don't know what he wanted to, like, what happened to him that I'm supposed to help out with.
Well, I got to tell you, I was just really surprised because I dug into this thing.
I feel like I'm missing a big part of something.
I felt I missed something, too, because all I saw were these incredibly positive comments about, whoa, he really laid it on the line. Whoa, he really hit the mark. Mm-hmm. And a lot of more white people saying it. And I was like, really? You really feel that way? Did you really pay attention to what he said? I mean, you like that? That made you feel good somehow? I mean, it's like they were going, yeah, right on.
Yeah.
And some of them I thought were just doing it because they wanted to be cool, or they wanted to act like they're part of the mission somehow.
Like Timberlake?
Yeah, like Timberlake, exactly.
Why does Timberlake get attacked? Because he does dance music. That's what's so silly about it. And this is what the story had become about.
Mark, if I'd been following that thing and I'd seen Timberlake's tweet, I would have attacked him too.
Well, only because it's hilarious to attack him from it when he's making money off what's deemed to be black culture. But it's really not when you dig into it.
And that dork... Just the fact that he had to put moved.
Inspired or whatever.
Moved, yeah. Inspired.
And he tweeted at him, by the way, which makes sense. So he tweeted at Jesse Williams. Hey, Jesse Williams, it's really inspired by that. Like, that's really what he's doing.
Get over yourself.
The other part of his speech was about police shootings and police shooting black people. And I just don't like when they're all lumped together. Can't we look at each one individually? Because Michael Brown, the one in Ferguson... When you read that case, it really sounds like it was justified. When you read about Eric Gardner in New York, that one's not. When you read about Walter Scott,
that
different. One's not.
No, they're all different.
They're all different. I find it hard to believe that cops are going out there going, or just being trigger happy.
And guess what?
Minorities.
You know, when I watched
poor people,
when I saw the verdicts coming in the Baltimore case, and I saw the first cop that was acquitted, and I saw the second cop that was acquitted, they were black.
Oh yeah, I know. With the Freddie Gray case.
And here I am going, all right, they were black. Like, and it's like, what, does that make it better?
It
I mean, how
no
twisted
difference.
Is a world where I suddenly feel right. good because the cops that did something wrong were black? How stupid is that, that I should even think I have to feel that way?
I don't know. We just start off with something such a downer.
I was fascinated by the Timberlake thing, and yesterday...
It was interesting, absolutely.
We chatted about it, and I felt like nobody really... Maybe they're just afraid to say something or didn't want to. I thought maybe you'd take a better bite off it.
Afraid to say what? Well, I don't understand what his point was. I felt like I was missing something.
I don't think I missed anything. I think I understood exactly what he said. What I didn't understand was the reaction that not one person was bugged by it. Everyone just thought it was wonderful.
Well, what I'm saying by missing something for it is what happened to him? Like, I don't even know why he won the Humanitarian Award. So what is it?
Well, I didn't even care about the Humanitarian Award. That was like, to me, that was so tertiary to the whole speech. Well, but whatever. Anyway, you know, here we are podcasting on the 28th day of June. And something I did want to mention today, and I guess I'll just mention at the top. What did I say?
I'm just going to say inspired.
Oh, okay. Okay. Was the tale of two quarterbacks that we have going on right now. We have, on the one hand, Tim Tebow, who got massive attention today because he prayed with people on an airplane. Somebody was having a heart attack on an airplane, and Tim Tebow left his first class seat, which kind of, I was a little... I thought that was a little shady.
In first class?
He's doing first class. I thought he was a man of the people, and he's so regular and all that. And you're a better person if you're in the room with Tim Tebow, but you're only in the room with him if you're in first class.
Maybe it was given to him.
Okay, we'll let him slide for that. He left his first class seat to go back and see what the problem was. What do you mean to tell me there was no one in the back of the plane that could
That's what's amazing.
Figure out what to do in this medical?
Hey, Drew, when God is called upon, he just shows up. That's the way things work, man.
Does he know much about medicine? I mean, is he a doctor, too?
Sure. Yeah, well, he circs all those kids.
Oh, that's true. He's involved
in circumcision. He works in the medical field. He knows how to... Maybe he thought someone was in need of a circumcision in the back of the plane.
Was there a child getting circumcised back here?
He's got a little, like a little travel kit. It looks like a men's grooming kit, but inside there's Band-Aids and whatever he used, whatever a Moyle would use to circ someone. I don't know. He's got a little
there
Moyle
is no
kit.
God.
So, someone need a circumcision? Tim Tebow is here.
So Tebow is on every newscast today because he prayed with someone that this guy would be okay. And then I don't know if you caught this at the end of the story, that he, when the plane landed, he helped the family carry the bags.
What?
He helped them carry their bags.
Well, I guess Tebow has a lot of time on his hands because... I'll be honest. I don't know if I'd hang around to help carry anyone's bags. Because
he had to go back to
go somewhere.
He had to walk past all those people to do that.
Tebow's not in a hurry to do anything. He's got nothing to do. He's got nothing but time.
I think he caused a lot of traffic in the aisle while he was at it.
What pisses me off about this story, though, is he didn't save their lives. There are actual people on the plane that saved this person's life.
No, but his prayer, apparently. It was his prayer that made the difference.
Well, he calmed the family down, I suppose. Well, now, that's weird. Like, say you were on a plane with your family, and God forbid someone had a heart attack, and they're doing CPR, and Tim Tebow shows up.
I would be so bummed out.
Would your first thought be to pray?
There is no God.
I don't want to pray with Tim Tebow.
Wouldn't you be like, hey, you're Tim Tebow. Where are you going?
Yeah, you're like half my age. I don't want you leading a prayer with my family.
Hey, aren't you the guy from GMA? Was Jesse Palmer on this flight too? Seriously, what would you think if Tim Tebow just appeared to pray with your family?
Be awkward as hell. I don't want him there. You're not in my family. It's not your problem. Get out of here. What are you leeching onto our problems so you can get some attention when you get off the plane? Is there a camera waiting for all of us?
No, I kind of like the idea of Tim Tebow helping carry my bags. That's just kind of fun.
Get him out of here.
Making Tim Tebow carry your bags.
He's such a nice guy.
I don't really want people touching my bags. I'll carry my bags. I don't need Tim Tebow carrying my
Heisman
bags.
Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow.
I don't know. I just feel like he's running for Humanitarian of the Year.
The best part about him carrying your bags at the end, you could tip Tim Tebow. Here you go, man. Here's $5.
Exactly.
I'm sure you need it. You haven't worked for a while.
He can't get a date, so he's doing this instead.
Yeah, brother. The tale of two quarterbacks, of course, the quarterback number two is...
Nice family.
Johnny Manziel, who was out buying $1,000 worth of pot reefer paraphernalia at a head shop.
Cool.
I guess right after he was arraigned on his hit-and-run charge.
It's medicinal.
What a mess that guy is. Where is he going? What is going on with that guy?
What do you mean, where is he going?
What's next in his life?
Well, you figure that out. He's living it up, man.
He's 20s away. I mean,
fuck yeah.
If he is, more power to him, I suppose.
I mean, the problem is he's got that little assault charge, right?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that the real big problem?
Yeah, and it's a big problem.
But boy, is he surrounded. This guy has been surrounded by a pile of idiots from day one, including his lawyer that sends a text to the Associated Press about, what did it say? Heaven help us if one of the conditions is to pee in a bottle. He texted that to the Associated Press. What an idiot. And now that guy had to step down.
Yeah. Oh, did he fire him? He blew him out?
I think he stepped down. Like, oh, boy, I blew this one.
Oh, what a fucking idiot.
But he picked up, who was it? Drew Rosenhaus for like a month. And an agent dropped. Since when does an agent drop an athlete? That never happens.
Well, Drew said, though, if he didn't go get some help, mm-hmm. he was dropping him. And he said in a month. And then when it was the five-day warning, he said, look, I don't know where he is. I can't reach him. If he doesn't do something in 5 days to go get some help for himself, then I'm done.
Yeah.
And he stuck to his guns. I don't blame him. Why should he waste his time?
No, I know, but it's just that just shows you what a disaster he is. And now, so much so, his dad, the dad that kind of set him on this spoiled path.
Yep.
The dad who, you know, let him get hammered all the time when he was in high school, which, whatever, it was legal. There was nothing illegal.
Let him break clubs on the golf course and buy him new ones.
Bought him the Mercedes so he didn't get in trouble.
Yeah, because he thought he was going to do autograph signings to buy his own Mercedes.
Sure.
He couldn't be trusted to just play by the rules, so he bought him the Mercedes he wanted.
But now even his dad throws him under the bus and said, my son's a druggie. He needs help.
Dead by his next birthday.
Yeah.
I'm so wasted.
He used the word druggie like 3 times in the statement to ESPN.
Doesn't he really just have a partying problem?
Yeah.
Doesn't he have a drug problem necessarily? It's just he likes to party. He's party every night.
I mean, I don't know what his drug of choice is, but it appears to be just marijuana.
Hey, bud. Let's party.
Well, the house he rented in California.
Oh, it did have some cocaine.
Leave some cocaine there. Yeah, some cocaine. And
he likes his booze.
Who knows what else he's done? I mean, he's probably done ecstasy and stuff people's age do.
Everything.
More than likely, but really he's just a big drinker. When he goes out, though, what does he do when he goes out? I see these stupid pictures of him, and I don't know, he's just being drunk. I mean, I never really see him doing anything.
It seems like alcohol is his big problem.
Yeah.
Because usually when you see him out and about, he just looks hammered.
Right, and he's out and about, he loves Las Vegas, well, who doesn't?
Yeah, I know. I almost don't blame him.
I don't either. I'm not familiar with him he's not a big gambler. He doesn't sit down and play $1,000 a hand.
I have no idea.
Yeah. As much as he's in Vegas, it seems like we'd know that if he did. But he likes the ladies, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And likes to beat the one.
Yeah. What,
wild story.
With that rage that this guy has, and we read about it in that story where the ESPN reporter was sort of embedded in the family for a few days.
Wright Thompson.
What a stupid story that was. Have to find out about Johnny Manziel tickling his grandmother. The fuck?
Remember his parents wanted to get the Johnny effing football, or no, what was it?
Yeah, they wanted to get Johnny effing.
John FF or whatever.
Yeah, Johnny FF license plate. And their daughter, who's 17, had to tell them, yeah, that's not in very good taste, Mom and Dad.
Johnny.
Johnny fucking football. I guess you might have a point there.
Dope.
All right, I guess we won't get it.
What a dumb family.
I know.
This tickling wormhole was getting deeper.
They sounded so stupid in that story. They thought they were accusing Texas A&M of stealing his Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, because they get two.
Yeah, and the school got the first one. And so they thought they had co-opted his Heisman Trophy to travel it around and make money off
of John's name. Yeah. Now, this is what sucks because there's time to run on his side. The whole issue of him signing autographs that he got suspended half a game for. Remember that when he was at
him? Oh, yeah.
That, I could not support him more for that, although it's breaking
the rule.
Except
it was against the rules.
Yeah, but so what? He's selling his own likeness.
Well, I agree the rule is wrong, but...
I know.
I shouldn't have done that.
Well, sometimes rules are made to be broken. And Johnny F. in football's the man to do it.
Yeah, because he wanted the $30,000 or whatever he got.
I know. Actually, he's the wrong guy to do it because he comes from such a wealthy family.
Exactly. No, and you know, they followed him and his father playing golf, and he broke two clubs over 9 holes, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty clear that he did that regularly because he can't beat his father in golf.
Yes.
So it makes him mad, so he breaks clubs all the time.
A baby.
And his dad buys him new clubs.
Well, he does seem kind of like a baby because that story.
Yeah, he's a big baby.
The other SI story about the fall of Johnny Manziel from like 2 months ago where he finally got his chance to start and he threw a 50-yard touchdown pass and threw, and he played really well in that game. I think he played 2 games. He played really well. And then McCown came back from injury and Zimmer, was not Zimmer, who was the coach there? Oh, balls.
I can't remember. Doesn't matter.
But he was basically saying that, you know, we're sticking by McCown. He was the quarterback and not Johnny. And that sent him on another tailspin because he was such a baby about it. That's when he stopped showing up for practice.
Well, the ultimate, though, was, you know, not going to treatment, not showing up for practice.
That's what precipitated that, though.
And so what? You can't do that. He's a baby. Just because you're a baby.
He will never play in the NFL again.
I don't think so either.
I don't even think he'll play in the CFL.
But the amazing, the truly amazing thing was the final game of the season when he went to Vegas on a Saturday and had those, he thought he was going to pull off some Instagram scam where he had pictures that loaded at midnight in Cleveland of him playing with his cat or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's still,
meanwhile, people have pictures of him in Vegas, you know, time stamped for 3 a.m.
What was the fake name? Remember he had a disguise on. Oh, shoot. Oh, I got to look it up because it's one of the best fake names.
It was really good.
It's right up there with Shooty McRace or Racist McShootface.
What was that? Racist McShootface. That was the high bid for the Zimmerman gun.
Yeah.
Racist McShootface.
What was Donald Trump's too? Like John Miller?
John Miller. Yeah, John Miller.
His terrible publicist. Fake name.
Oh, and it was so Donald Trump. Oh, my God, was that Donald Trump.
Didn't we have another fake? What was Travolta's fake name? We had a Travolta fake name the other day, too, which was really stupid.
Well, Ron Mexico, of course.
Yeah, that's a class. That's a great fake name.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, the blonde wig and fake
mustache. Wait, what did Wiener use? What was Wiener's name?
Oh, Carlos Danger.
Yeah, Carlos
Absolutely.
Danger.
Absolutely. That is one of the best fake names
ever. Outstanding. That makes me like him more, actually.
He's kind of likable.
He is. If you watch a documentary, I'm telling you, you're going to see it. If you ever go on demand, you'll see Wiener, just Wiener and his stupid face. And it's a really pretty outstanding documentary about a run for governor or for mayor of New York, a race he was leading until they found out he'd sent out more dick pics.
I don't want to see your Wiener.
Drew, it was Billy Manziel.
Oh, Billy Manziel?
Yeah. Or no, Billy Vegas is what people are calling. Look at this T-shirt. You can buy Billy Vegas. It's his headshot as a Cleveland Brown. Just a fake blonde wig and a goofy mustache. That's really great.
Well, you know, ever since his whole, I guess it's his personal moniker or his personal, where he, you know, the money, the, where he's.
Oh, the money sign, yeah, with his fingertips.
Money sign, What is that? Who does that? What kind of a
total
jackass?
Douche.
Yeah, a total douche.
He's the best. What a loser.
He's got to be the biggest douche to ever hit professional sports.
Oh, God, great question.
What?
Biggest douche to ever. I'm just trying to think of other douches.
I think he's right up there at the top. He's got to be. I don't know who can out douche him. For just absolute douchey behavior.
Harrington was kind of douchey in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. Totally different.
Joey Harrington. Oh, boy. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, most of the people you think about who get in trouble, they're just troubled.
That's going to keep me up at night. Douchiest athletes.
Well, maybe we get some participation there.
I always thought LeBron was kind of douchey in a way.
He can be douchey.
He's just
absolutely
a thin-skinned baby. Or as Golden State called him, he's a little bitch. I love that Draymond called him a little bitch right to his face. That really bothered him. But hey, he gets the last laugh.
The last laugh.
Ultimate warrior.
And Draymond, I still maintain that suspension in Game 5 was a much bigger part of that loss than was ever given credit for.
He was given a comment the other day about how much losing in this series is just going to kill him forever. Just destroy him forever.
Draymond?
Yeah.
Draymond Green.
Yeah,
he's got so much time, though. He's only a third-year player.
Oh, he's never going to get over it.
Oh, come on. Although, you know, it's truly amazing, having read that great Final Four book,
Yeah. Oh, you never get over the loss?
Yeah. How many of those guys said they think about it every day or at least every week? And it was amazing how much those guys still thought about their Final Four loss. You know, they reached the pinnacle of college basketball, something they'd thought about all their lives. And then when they lost in the championship game or in the semi game, more so the championship game, though, I think, they just had so much trouble sort of coming to terms with it. Just the fact that, you know, we lost and yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world. No, it was the worst thing in the world. And they never got over it. Even Larry Bird,
yeah,
who won NBA championships, said that loss, to,
yeah. Yeah,
that loss to Michigan State and Magic Johnson. And the fact that he really didn't have a good game and they weren't in that game. Mm-hmm. It just really ate at him. And that was the biggest game. God, that was a big game.
It launched the NCAA tournament.
It sure did.
It really did.
You know what that occurred right around, too, was the Miracle on Ice?
Oh, yeah.
Same week as the Miracle on Ice.
Wait.
I think it was.
No, that was that was the 80 Olympics. 79 was Michigan State, Indiana State.
I'm trying to make this bold statement. I'm talking out of my ass.
They're about a year apart.
I could have sworn they were. I guess. No, you're right.
Yeah, it was the 1980 Olympics. And
yeah, can we edit that, please?
No way. Keep it in there. It makes me sound smart. What a douche.
No, I'm glad you busted me because you probably saved me 20 emails.
There was an article. God, I can't remember who wrote it. It might have been Howard Bryant from ESPN wrote about how LeBron and Steph Curry are the next Magic and Bird. I could not roll my eyes harder at that.
Oh, because
Magic and Bird launched the NCAA tournament together, and they took the NBA into another stratosphere. The NBA was dead in the 70s till they came along. Just dead. I mean, they played off the NCAA stuff, but without those two, I mean, I don't know, is Michael as big as he is without Jordan? Or is Jordan as big without Magic and Bird?
No. Uh-uh.
So?
Absolutely not.
I get what he said. I think what he's trying to say are the two MVP candidates in finals, but I mean, they got a long way to go before they even reach that.
Oh, my God. They have miles to go. And as far as LeBron, I kept hearing, you know, it's funny. I still was rooting against LeBron, even though he started growing me just a little bit, but I still
what?
Was... No, not that much.
Oh,
not that much.
God,
I tweeted out before the Game 7 that the world is a better place with LeBron 2-5 in the finals than
clearly
3-4 in the finals. The world is a better place. There's no question in my mind about that. But when he won that game,
LeBron James,
and people were really trying to give him, just trying to put him on a whole new stage or this whole new level. And even the comparisons to Michael Jordan, and I just said, no, 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 no. Not even close. Michael Jordan took the ball at the end of the game, and he did it himself. He put his team on his shoulders. There was no passing to someone else for the winning shot.
Mm-hmm.
There was no question who was going to score the big points at the end of the game. It was him. He did whatever he had to do. If he had to dribble around 9 guys, he'd do it. If he had to shoot a 3-pointer, he'd do it.
Mm-hmm.
If he had to take the losing shot, he'd do it. LeBron doesn't even want to take the shot. And his fourth quarter shooting percentage in the finals, I got to believe, is less than 40%.
LeBron, absolutely.
Yeah. I would almost guarantee it.
I wouldn't
it.
Be surprised.
Hell yeah.
I'm quite positive. In that game, he made the 3-pointer and he made nothing else.
Then he made the 3 shots and then he had the block. Those are the 3 plays.
His fullback up the middles were all failures.
Yeah, stopped 4 times in a row before he shot over Azealy for the 3.
Yep.
Here's the interesting question. LeBron never gets in any trouble.
No, he doesn't. And I give him credit for that.
But my problem with him is that he's been a product since day one. That's like, he doesn't seem like a real person to me. He just seems like a manufactured corporate product.
I know, it is really strange.
A white corporate product.
They've been branding him since 9th grade.
See, there they are, tapping the culture for white corporations.
Ugh.
Sucking them like an oil well, Drew.
Yeah, stealing. I guess the shoe companies ripped him off and buried him.
Even if they are publicly traded.
I think he came out okay, based on when he lost in the finals that one year, and he said, well, I still, you go back to your stupid lives, and I still got all my money. I got all my money in the bank.
What a dick. What a douche.
I remember Larry Holmes said something similar, and I think it might have been before he fought. Might have been before the Ali fight or one of the big fights, and they were bugging him like, well, what if you lose this fight, Larry? You know, because he was talking some shit, and he said, Larry Holmes doesn't care. Larry Holmes got $99 million in the bank.
Oh, I like money.
It was like he had just checked his bank balance before he talked to these people. Yeah. He had $99 million in the bank. 99. I pictured that little passbook savings book. Yeah. You know, the
9900000. Yep.
Larry Holmes doesn't care what happened because even if I lose a fight, I got $99 million in the bank. He's like, Larry Holmes got $99 million in the bank.
If I heard that, I'd challenge it because 99 just seems like a weird arbitrary number to pick up.
No, it's a
huge
number. If
he said, like, I got 97.5 million, then I'd be, oh, okay, maybe he knows.
99,453,000.
Actually, I'm starting to get worried for that version of Larry Holmes because I think his financial advisor might be taking advantage of him, just going, Larry, you got like 99 million in the bank. See ya.
Yeah, exactly. $99 million. Not okay. A cent more, not a cent less. Yeah. $99 million, a lot of money for Larry Holmes down in the bank. That's great.
I'll see you in a week, Larry. You got 99 in the bank.
And that's the second guy, the second black star that we've talked about in just a few days, who apparently puts everything in passbook savings, because Bobby Brown kept talking about his bank account in the book. Yeah, where when he met Whitney's father, he decided to ask her for Whitney's hand in marriage, and he said, well, I don't know. I don't think so, because you're going to try and steal her money. And Bobby Brown said he pulled out his bank book and showed him he just made a large deposit.
I love that he had it on him.
I know. And he had just made a large deposit, so he showed him that he had millions of dollars in the bank. And again, I'm picturing this passbook savings account, this little blue book. He just opened it up and said, look, there's the stamp. I got $9 million in the bank. And old man Houston said, oh, okay, well, I guess you don't need her money after all. What? And everything was cool.
Please tell me he had other investments other than a passbook.
No, he just puts everything in one account. Okay. I swear to God, he made it sound like he had one account.
That's a lot. That's then, pretty smart.
And then getting paid in briefcases full of cash, I guess, and buying cars off people, just stopping and going, hey, I like your car. What do you want for it?
Now, see, if he had investments in that, I like the briefcase of cash part, but to just do a bank account with a briefcase of cash is a little ridiculous.
You know, who knows how these people got. I mean, to think what it's like to be 19, 17, 18 years old and run into all this fucking money.
No.
Oh, my God.
Nope. Cannot wrap my head around it.
It's really, really frightening to think of how badly they get ripped off.
Yeah.
These people. Can you imagine if you, you had a chance, if you had a crack at a 17-year-old Bobby Brown, you got one shot to come away with some of his money. Bobby, I got a really good idea for you. I know you're trying to figure out what to do with all that money. I mean, I can't even imagine daring to do that to some kid. I mean, think of all the weasels. As it turned out, he moved his entire family, his mother, father, sisters, brothers, their kids, all out to California on his dime.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, they all lived in Jersey, I think.
Now, after reading the Bobby Brown book, do you feel like he's a good guy?
I think he's okay.
Like, not a bad guy. I mean, obviously, he had the drug problems, whatever.
I always thought that...
He never beat Whitney, did he?
He hit her once.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did, and he admitted that.
And then she hit him 1,000 times for that.
Yeah.
Because I could see that's how that relationship
I got that
worked.
Impression, too. Yeah. But he never forgave himself for hitting her the one
time. I don't
know.
He always can't seem to come across as a troubled guy, but tried to do the right thing, I suppose. As if that,
well, he... You know. She was really the one that was more into drugs when they went down that path, and she was also the last one to quit. He quit when he was in jail, and he got out, and she was still using, and he was like, hey, you know, I can't be around you like this. Like, I don't want to go back down that path, and she just didn't give a shit, and she was smoking dope with her daughter. Chrissy was, you know, 14, 15 years old, and Whitney's getting high with the daughter, and Bobby was just livid.
Look what happened to both of them.
I know. No, I know. It's a terrible, terrible story.
Talking about Bobby Brown's money issues reminded me I got a call on my answering machine. The IRS is going to sue me.
Oh, no.
And they left a message.
We need to call someone?
We do, but I left the number at home. Now, the good news is I got a message on my cell phone with a chance to make money from home if you want to call that number.
Oh, make money from, just like in the comments section of the stories?
But this guy, or whoever this company is, they did a hell of a job really selling themselves as being legit. Listen to how this message goes. Hang on, I got to crank it up here on my phone.
I can't wait to hear this. In a plane?
Hello? Hello? Oh, I guess I missed you. Anyway, this is David, and I'm calling to give you some information on how you can significantly increase your cash flow. Your recommended to me as someone who may be looking to receive several thousand dollars a week from home.
Who is that?
So if
David,
you're interested,
that recommended you.
My informational phone line, so
Drew.
You can call and hear how you can start receiving that kind of money today. All right, that phone number is 510.
All right. I love the beginning, though, where he's like, hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, I guess I missed you.
Nice fake out.
Do you want to call David?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let me give you his number, Jay. I like that somebody thought enough of me to recommend me, Drew. That was very nice of you.
Yeah, well, I thought, you know, you never know. You got a young child. Maybe you like to make a little side income.
Well, I saw all this money you were making from working at home.
Yeah, exactly. Just started this podcast. Yeah, I don't know what to do with all the extra money.
There's David's number. David. Make sure we only talk to David, by the way. Just only David.
We're demanding David.
He's the one that left the message. David, I got to bring that IRS one in because it's even worse than that.
How much did they say you owe?
I think it was over $5,000.
Oh,
which is crazy. That
did they demand immediate payment?
Yes. They're going to send an officer to my house.
I cannot believe how many warnings there have been
about
that thing.
If you're looking for a way to generate thousands of dollars, this is unlike anything you've ever heard before.
David!
The information you're about to hear is offered without cost. And no special charges will appear on
your phone bill.
It went
right into this one ring and it landed on this.
This is not a solicitation to buy, sell, or make an investment. This information is only available upon your request.
David, where are you?
Here's the question. If I can honestly offer you a system that finds all of the people for you, eliminates all selling, all meetings, all cold calling, and all presentations, and delivers thousands of dollars to your door without interfering with your job, business, or career, would it be worth minutes to hear about it? To answer yes, simply keep listening. If not, please hang up now.
Get the fuck off the phone.
Yes.
You requested the right to hear this private information because you're looking for a way to generate cash
flow. Really covering all their,
what you're about
their
to
legal
hear has
angles,
nothing to do with multi-level or network marketing, and there are no meetings to attend.
Multi-level marketing.
There's no selling for you to do, and you'll never have to chase your friends or family.
Sure, you want
to
be in the second
We're
level of my pyramid?
How to direct hundreds
Jay,
of people
too.
Who are
I'll
looking for a way
and...
to generate cash flow to hear your personalized copy of this voicemail system's message and eliminate an internet marketing problem that is producing the 98% failure rate marketers are experiencing today.
What's that?
What problem is that?
I'll do all of the presenting, and you'll be totally incognito. This won't interfere with your job, business, or any other opportunity you're involved with.
I'm guessing we just
We've
have
linked
to send them a
check. This marketing system with a global tracking system created by some brilliant software engineers. And these two systems
Johnny
work
Manziel
together
update.
Like
Oh,
magic.
Really?
Yes.
Well, go ahead with this guy's
week,
presenting.
Well, I want to hear a little more.
From homemakers,
come on,
boomers,
come on,
retired seniors, business
like
owners, and
it.
Entrepreneurs have listened to this information.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
Answered,
Get
yes,
your credit card number
I can
out,
use this marketing system to find at least one person who wants to generate
can
cash
Can you believe
flow.
People sit and listen through all this
one
shit?
Person,
yes, I do.
And they are now receiving thousands of dollars delivered daily to their door. Here's a
delivered
their
to their door.
Bobby Brown style.
You know, I got a call like this
thousands
over
of dollars
ago,
daily.
I almost hung up, and boy, am I glad I listened to the whole thing and followed up. You know, after 40 years of marketing, this is by far the very best thing I've ever done in my entire life.
It doesn't sound like a broadcaster
it's
totally at all.
It's an automated system that anyone can plug in.
It doesn't sound like someone from the production department.
Results. I invite you to get started today.
Hey, this Fake. Is Donna from Florida. Hey, I had never worked from home before, so naturally I was a bit skeptical when I first heard about the system, but I was definitely ready for my
Sounds
life
natural.
To change. So let's just say that when I looked at the website, this huge light bulb went off in my head, and I got started immediately.
Nice
this
set of hooters you got
there. This is the best
financial
decision I've ever made, and I highly recommend it to anyone who's actually serious
That's
you
made so
about
many
becoming
horrible
free.
Decisions
This
in your
is
life.
Jim. I was sitting in my truck one day, anxiously thinking about my financial future. My cell phone rang. I listened to
it
the message
David.
Just like you're doing now. Then I hopped to the website and was so excited that I joined that same day.
Oh, geez.
I had over $25,000 delivered to my
are.
Front door within 1 month.
You did not, David.
I am completely blown away by what this automated system can do.
What is
a big scam.
What you're about to hear,
what is it,
which is
Drew?
How you can start leveraging
it's
three of the
be
most
multi-level marketing.
Financial
it's
principles
they said
in
it
the
wasn't,
world,
though.
And start making money
I
immediately.
They said it was.
These
oh.
are the same principles the wealthy have used to build and protect wealth for generations. And now it's available
is it
to you.
Is the airplane game?
When you register on our website to get started, you'll get your own inviter code.
Oh.
Then we'll help you plug into your voicemail marketing system, and you'll be part of the team.
Oh, and then
hey,
the
great.
First thing that I want you to see
you
is that your marketing
like
system
David
only
did.
Needs to find
I love
one
being part of a team.
For you to start generating cash flow. The second thing that I want you to see is that all of the cash flow is going to come directly to your
David's
door.
Calling someone
by
else
one of
right
the
now.
Overnight private the courier services like FedEx or UPS. Our members
it's
are
David.
Actually
Drew,
paying
answer
off
it.
Bills, replacing incomes, paying cash for automobiles, building custom homes, and creating financial dynasties that can
Let's
last
go,
for generations to come. Best of all, you can do this part-time, spare time, full-time, or anytime.
I thought I didn't have to do anything.
And that's
anything.
Why you're just 24 to 48 hours from receiving thousands of dollars at your door.
Ooh.
Has anyone ever offered you the use of a voicemail marketing system like this?
Oh, my
the
goodness.
Ability
that's
to generate
all it is.
Thousands
what an opportunity.
Or millions.
That's all it is.
All of the people for you explains everything for
right,
you
I think
professionally
I've had enough of this
and provides this voicemail marketing system
so
to
you just
every
become the dick that
you,
leaves messages to everybody's mail.
To your door.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, every the voice. You just call the cell phone and leave your message.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Well, that is stupid. Sorry I wasted everyone's time. now I got to deal with this IRS issue.
Wasted time. Are you kidding me? we have the Johnny Manziel update, by the way.
Okay.
Johnny Manziel turns up in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Taunts his dad.
Yeah.
Chase Johnny Manziel's father is wondering if his tough love message last week got through. The answer seems to be a resounding no. The former Browns quarterback just posted a photo on Instagram of himself. Why is he posting photos of himself? Does he think he's hot?
Oh,
I guess he does.
No?
He absolutely thinks
yeah, he does.
Hot.
Yeah, of course. Of himself at a resort in Mexico wearing a Josh Gordon jersey and celebrating how good he thinks he has it. The message includes the oh-so-rebellious hashtag, Hi, Dad! Which doesn't suggest that the son was very receptive to his father calling him a druggie and saying he hoped he went to jail. Of course, Manziel also made it clear Gordon wasn't with him. Though the two are friends, Gordon's probably relieved he pointed that out.
Well, that's kind of funny.
Gordon's trying to get reinstated, apparently taking the steps needed to achieve that goal.
Here's the full thing he wrote is, I want to take this thing off for a week, meaning the Josh Gordon jersey. You, my brother, for life. Just wait on this comeback. Because he tagged Josh Gordon with it. Oh,
what's the Josh Gordon?
Well, Josh Gordon got kicked off for weed.
Yeah.
By the NFL. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he relates to him because he.
Mm-hmm. They like to smoke weed together.
He's a rebel. He's a fellow
comments,
rebel.
The comments underneath.
Oh, bring it.
You're an asshole. Jump. Because he's standing on like an infinity pool over a ledge. You're an asshole. Jump. Both your careers are over, loser. You guys are done. Ha 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 ha. let's see. If he hangs out with him, both of them never bad. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Your father is not impressed. Who cares? Or he's another one. Go ahead and jump, you fucking idiot. God, people are the worst. Go ahead and jump. You want him to kill himself?
Why not? Why not?
Oh, wait. He's got a video Instagram. Let's see. It's a real shaky video Instagram. Let's see what's going on here.
$10,000
Cool video, bro. It's just him.
That somebody, a commenter, sent that stupid thing?
No. That was Manziel's next post on Instagram.
Oh, impressive.
And there's a couple dudes there at this place in Cabo. So.
What a moron. What an absolute.
What an idiot.
Any more interesting comments?
Not that I saw.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a lot of pictures with him and his dad up here all of a sudden. I don't know.
Well, you know, what is he trying to prove here? Or is it that he's tried the NFL. He realizes, you know, it's not that easy. I don't want to work that hard. I don't want that. I've got money anyway.
I don't know. He posted a picture of him and his dad, and he wrote, no matter how many times I'm a hard-headed a-hole, you've done everything in the world to help me. I love you more than you ever know, Pops. He wrote
Who is your daddy?
And then the first comment underneath that, what a fake piece of shit trolling your own dad after posting this. The next one.
And well, he hates you. There's a little bit of hypocrisy there, isn't there?
Your father still thinks you're a piece of shit, though.
I mean, the hashtag hi dad.
My dad.
I know, Drew, like I know. You don't suppose maybe his dad's in on this weird image thing, do you?
No.
Dad says you're going to be late again, you butthole.
Oh, Johnny Football.
I mean, really, I'm just trying to get inside his head. Where does he think this all, what does he think the end game is?
Nobody tells him what to do. Oh, he's always going to have money.
No, I think he's proven that no one tells him what to do. I think we already know that. But, you know, he does have to live within the guidelines of the NFL. I mean, is he saying that...
I don't think he's ever... Do you think he ever wants to get back to the NFL?
Yeah, I do. That's what drives his fame. That's what makes people...
Yeah, I guess so. Although he's kind of in that stratosphere. He's going to be famous no matter what.
Well, there's a lot of that is kind of operational now that didn't used to be so much the case. But I think that's going to fade. I mean, he's going to... There's going to be very little interest in him in another 6 months. I mean, really very little. Unless he gets drunk somewhere and exactly. hits somebody or something like that. But that's...
Or his dad gives an interview calling him a druggie.
How much is he going to
get? Crap that keeps him in the news.
But how long does that go on? Not that long. I mean, eventually he's just a former quarterback who played 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago that no one cares about.
More than anything.
Who blew it? Who threw it all away?
How does he monetize any of that?
He doesn't.
Yeah, so the only way for him to keep making money, if that's really... And it does seem like money's very important to him. And,
absolutely, it is.
And he might have a lot of money because he comes from a ton of it, but I would still think he'd want to make his own.
Well, money just comes to him through his family and through his football skill. But his football skill, that's waning.
It's done, yeah.
So is daddy going to keep giving him allowance? I don't think so. No.
I don't know.
He's not going to. So he's going to run out of cash, and he's going to start writing bad checks, or he's going
to
start declaring bankruptcy.
His life is just going to
get really dumb.
He'll just go work for daddy. Don't you think daddy will just die?
Yeah, he could do that, but he's got to toe the line to do that. And then he's going to say, well, Jesus, why am I not playing football? Why am I? I don't give a shit about the oil industry. Why aren't I playing football like I should have?
I don't know.
And then he makes his
great comeback. Johnny Manziel is trying out for all 30 teams in one fell swoop. He can go play for the Iowa Barnstormers and come back via the AFL.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his only way back, right?
This guy has to be the most stubborn piece of shit that I can think of in one of the major sports. Seriously.
I'm starting to like this guy.
Has anyone thrown away whatever it is they have more than Johnny Manziel?
Aaron Hernandez.
Well, that's different, though. Aaron Hernandez was successful at the game.
True.
He was successful at the sport.
He threw it away.
Yeah, he threw it away. Well, he murdered people.
Ray Carruth. I know, we're actually comparing Johnny Manziel to two. One murderer and one attempted murderer.
And I'm putting the murders ahead of Johnny Manziel because those guys actually had some success in the league and played. Mm-hmm. They just had such a volatile temper, or they were sociopaths or whatever.
Well, this one, Art Schliester.
Mm.
Am I getting closer?
Well, yeah, you're in the right. You're in the ballpark. Closer? Yeah, now you're in the ballpark.
Okay.
Art Schliester wasn't probably as good as Johnny Manziel, in my opinion.
Although he was a higher draft pick.
They're close.
Isn't he a higher draft pick?
Yeah, I think he was. Maybe so.
talk about writing bad checks.
Yeah, Art Schliester was the third pick, I believe.
But remember all those bad checks he would write in Vegas and go from casino to casino?
Well, and the people that believed in him 20 years later when he was, oh my God, the people he scammed. He completely bankrupted his wife's family, as I recall. Because he kept putting up their houses. Oh, my God, that guy. Oh. Yeah. That was a great book.
He wrote that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So was he fine now? But didn't he get in some legal trouble after that book?
Oh, yes. Yes, he did.
Okay.
He sure did.
What's he doing now?
I don't know what he's doing. I really don't. Mm. We could probably look him up. Isn't he in jail?
Oh boy, I really don't. I haven't thought about Art Schliester in years.
No, I haven't either. I really think, though, Johnny Manziel, in terms of douchiness, I think it's hard to top. I don't know.
I thought of another one, though, after we were talking about it, and it's Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper's kind of a douche.
Yeah, he's a douche. I agree. You're right. But his talent is, I mean, he's a really hard-nosed, gives 100% kind of player, sure. I think that removes a little bit of douchiness.
Schliester's in jail for 10 years. He was sentenced in 2011. That book was before 2011.
Yeah, it was right around then.
For his involvement in a $1 million ticket scam while under house arrest awaiting assignment to a state prison.
Oh, God.
Tested positive for cocaine.
Oh, boy.
Oops.
Wait, coke too?
Yeah, while serving a house arrest sentence on federal charges resulting from the same case. and while on probation from an Indiana sentence on January 2012 as a result of the drug test, he was sentenced to 10 years and 7 months.
He was into drugs.
I didn't either.
Wow.
Remember that great story about him at the horse track trying to avoid people that weren't looking for him?
That was hilarious.
He thought people were chasing him?
Yeah, and he ran miles and miles and miles over highways, through bushes, through, and no one was chasing him. Oof. Someone actually was coming up to get an autograph, I think.
That's what it was. You're right.
Yeah, he thought they were the feds.
Just a poor gambler, too. That's what's amazing about it.
Yeah, the worst. The worst. Hey, I meant to ask you, and I should have asked right at the top, but
sure.
Did you watch the fireworks on TV last night?
You know, I did not, no.
It's the first time I haven't watched it in probably 20 years, I bet.
No.
I always watch that thing. Always watch the Super Singers. Always watch the... It's such a hokey TV event, and I can't resist it.
There was a stupid conflict on my TV, and I chose to blow that out, and I can't remember what it was.
The Bachelor?
No.
Now that I watched Chad's The Bachelor, on. I completely forgot the fireworks were on.
Now that do you feel like you missed something?
I do. I kind of do. Silly as that is.
Did you feel you missed from the fireworks? They don't do Super Singers anymore, do they?
Yeah, they have some kind of a karaoke contest. They have an American Idol type thing where they have judges.
Do they bring Gatica back to host it?
I think he is involved in that.
Of course he is. Who else could do it?
No one could do it quite like Chuck.
I think Chuck demands it.
Chuck in a Johnny Bahama shirt.
Johnny Bahama.
Carmen always has a
knockoff of Tommy Bahama.
Tommy Bahama, excuse me. Johnny Bahama.
Hey, Gatica don't wear no fucking knockoffs, man.
Hell no. I am blown away, though. You know, talking to Sminty, you weren't on the call with us.
No.
Clark was here. But the fact that Gatica apparently missed the dough at Channel 4 and just had to go back. That's sort of what Sminty was speculating.
Wait, what?
Well, you know, he went off to do his ministry.
Yeah, huh?
And apparently
he missed the dough, meaning he wanted to make money again.
Yeah, it was not as lucrative as apparently he thought it was going to be, and he missed the...
Wait.
He always...
That's not where you're supposed to get into ministry.
Of course not, but he still missed it. He still missed the cash, apparently. And
really?
I think it was more speculation than anything, but he was just talking about how he... Loved it when he held two jobs because he made money from radio and he made money from his TV job, and he was always kind of a...
I don't know why anybody would get rid of that TV job. What a great gig.
Oh, yeah, and that group had all worked together for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you have a team that stays together for that long?
Yeah.
Well, that's a big one.
Oh, poor Ben Bailey. Imagine when Gatica marched back into DIV.
Well, they put him on the 10 o'clock show, though. He's on in the morning.
No, I know. I know, but Bailey had to be shaking in his...
Oh, yeah.
His weather boots.
Well,
I'm going to bring Gatica back for the prime time.
Actually, I'm kind of surprised that...
No, don't put it in his head.
I don't know. I would have thought for all that time they would have said, well, Chuck is a little aberration, but they must be happy with the new guy, though. They must really like
him. Ben Bailey's solid, yeah. He used to be on Fox 2, and now he's on DIV. I don't know. He's a weatherman.
Have you seen Jason Carr, by the way?
I have not, no.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny how those morning shows... They just aren't that high profile. I mean, you know they're there. You know they make a lot of money for those stations.
Yep.
But it's not it's not the kind of fare that really gets a lot of water cooler talk, put it that way.
I don't think we're in their target demo either.
No, we're not. But or their target psychographic,
yeah,
for that matter. But they aren't.
True.
They're not really a water cooler talk kind of a thing. It's more of a...
It's a
easy breezy,
cheap, locally produced thing that can make a lot of local money, right?
Yeah. The Channel 2 show, I don't know where that's going.
The 9?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it lately.
That's
a juggernaut, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal for Fox, too.
All right. Who's on it now?
Because
I haven't watched
Mario Lu is on there.
Okay. I like Mario.
Yeah. I don't
know. No? Not so much?
Know. We'll see.
Hey, she's new.
Roop Raj?
I like Roop.
Yeah, Roop's okay.
Roop's solid.
But I think they're missing they need a strong voice in that show. Dina does a good job,
mm-hmm.
but I still think they need that one kind of person who drives it, maybe.
Huh. That's fascinating. What, you want to do it?
No,
why don't you go on there? Why don't you host with
No,
them?
Thanks. No, TV's not my thing.
TV's
no
the
way.
Worst.
No, not my thing at all.
Oh, man.
Why
don't they just put Langdon on with them?
Right. Oh, Charlie?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Charlie Langdon should host.
Charlie can do anything.
Wacky, I know.
I mean, he's a kind of guy.
A good dude.
He does sort of fit anywhere. Somehow, he's very likable.
He hosts a million jobs, too.
Yeah, he's really good. Where did he come from, by the way? It's funny. I remember
he's
when
a criminal
he just,
defense attorney.
Was he an attorney here for years and years and he just suddenly exploded on TV?
He
or
was a criminal, criminal defense attorney, I think, in Macomb County, and then started being, he was an expert for some,
And he went from expert to full time?
To full time, yeah.
Really?
I think he might have done some training at Specs, too.
No shit.
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's great. Just a good dude.
Yeah, he is. I like him a lot. I do enjoy him. No matter what he's doing, he just fits. I don't know how he does it, but being Charlie works.
It works, yeah.
Whether it's in Let It Rip or doing a story or doing damn near anything.
When he does Man on the Street, it's pretty good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's always himself. That's what I like about him. Hey, did you catch this? You probably didn't. I know you're off this week. First off, the NBC poll has Hillary up by 8 points now. Yep. So she's picked up 3 more points since their last poll.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had another... They had a breakdown on whites and blacks.
Okay.
And let's see. Oh, this is a percentage saying there is what level of attention paid to race and racial issues.
I did see this story.
Yeah, and whites said, 41% of whites said too much attention on racial issues, 28% the right amount, 27% said too little.
That sounds about right, being white. No, just kidding.
Blacks said 58%. 58% of blacks said there's too little attention paid to race and racial issues, 22% said too much, and 17% said the right amount. So
those numbers surprise you one bit?
Not a bit. No. But when they break it down by political affiliation, Republicans, how many Republicans think there's too much attention on racial and racial issues? 59%.
Of course.
And 49% of Democrats say too little.
Too little, okay. Well,
only 21% say too much. And independents, interesting, independents.
This is the one I want to hear, yeah.
Yeah, 42% say too much attention on race and racial issues, 25% too little. So leaning a little bit to the right there.
Sounds like a lot of white people are independents. The numbers match up.
You know, but in terms of the polls, if you break it down by white, black, minority,
sure,
white,
sure,
it appears that whites will overwhelmingly elect Trump just as they would have Romney. But the domination towards Hillary with Hispanics and blacks is so grand that she leads the polls overall. So this will be the third straight election where essentially the minorities are calling the shot.
Sure.
By voting 94-6 or 95-5 or 92-8, they are turning the election.
Sure. I'm very surprised by that.
No, not really. But it just tells you that the white vote really doesn't matter. Because the white vote is always going to split.
Wait a second. I think it matters. I think white people, the white people just split their votes between Republicans and Democrats.
You have to, in order for Republicans to win, they have to pull a larger share of the white vote, or they've got to get some of the minority. They're never going to get the minority vote, though.
No.
Never will happen.
It shows the inherent problem with the party right now. Don't you think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't seem to be terribly inclusive party. That's the problem. Well,
they're stuck on certain issues, I think, that cause
that
them
are
problems.
Losing issues.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look at me, Drew. I'm pretty pro-business. I'm very pro-my wallet, but there's some issues on there that are just losers.
You got to be on the winning side of more things. You can have a couple losers, but you can't have a bunch of them. Anyway, I thought that was...
You want to know what drove me nuts about Trump this week?
What?
Well, you know how, and I'm the only person in the world, or at least in America, that's obsessed with Brexit.
America!
I cannot read enough and watch enough about the British Brexit vote and how it's affected everything. And his little press conference in Scotland drove me up a wall.
Oh, when he basically pointed out how good it is for his resort?
Yes. That, or how they're taking their country back. That's just his rhetoric, too, of... They took their country back, and then he kind of took credit for it because of what was going on over here.
Well, that's absurd.
I don't know.
Nothing to do with it. I never heard him say one word about Brexit. Never.
He didn't know what it was. I don't think he even knew what it was.
I didn't either. I paid no attention to it until the vote came, and it changed all of a sudden.
I think I had a lot to do with that, okay?
Yeah.
When the stock market dropped 600 points, I'm like, what the hell is this Brexit thing again?
Oh, you didn't know it was coming up?
No, I did. I kept seeing it's coming, but every time I saw Brexit in the paper, I went, boring, and went to the next thing.
Of course.
Honestly, as it most, just was
as
so...
99% of Americans did.
And 99% of people in the UK did, too. They thought they were... The highly Googled item was, what is Brexit the next
what,
day?
What is
day?
The EU, and what does leaving the EU mean, were the two largest Google searches in the UK. But, you know, they...
Well, that's flipping amazing.
The Leave party... over there blatantly lied to them about how much money they gave to the EU. It's just a blatant lie, and people believed it and voted on it.
And apparently that this whole business of voting again, because 3 million people signed a petition saying...
Not going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
David Cameron came out yesterday and said that. It's just not... That's not an option. But basically, they're going to take their time, which is funny because the EU is like... Fuck off. Get out of here. Which is kind of hilarious in that, you know, they have 2 years to get out now.
Oh, and they're saying because it's going to hurt the pound so badly and it hurts their economy, they're going to just slow down and not worry about making any changes anytime soon.
That's what drives me nuts about it.
Why'd they vote for it if they don't want to do it?
Because the working class were told that it would be to keep workers out of the country. The problem is...
Well, they've been led to believe, I don't know if this is true or not, but the literature or the... What they were pounding them with was the fact that 335,000 jobs have been stolen by immigrants
who
immigrated over the borders freely, just waltzed over and took their jobs away.
Yeah, but they don't realize the effects of limiting mobility of workers limits the economy. What corporation is going to want to put a factory over there?
I don't know.
You know, say what you want about the New World Order or the global economy, but this is the game we're living in right now, and it sucks for a lot of people.
See what the auto stocks did?
Yeah.
Boo!
Exactly.
Well, if the dollar is stronger, then those American cars are going to cost a lot more, and they're not going to sell very well.
Precisely. So, I don't know.
As the pound drops. Hey, it's good for travel, though. If you want to travel to the UK, it's a great time to do it.
I actually thought about it.
We'll take a break here. It's Drew and Mark on the podcast, and Mark is on vacation this week. Mark's here courtesy of our friends at Detroit Sports 105.1 with Sean, Mark, and Maz in the morning. Listen to them. Listen to the vacation version of the program this week, and of course, Mark will be back next week.
Yeah, Darren McCarty's in for me.
And Trudy, wow, Darren McCarty's replacing you. That's pretty cool.
I know, it's kind of scary. I feel like Ben Bailey all of a sudden.
Yeah, what if Darren does a great job and they go, oh my God, he's a former Red Wing, he's killing it.
That's not that far out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, come on now. That's silly. Trudy will be back with us on the podcast on Thursday. Trudy and Mark, Trudy from 94.7 WCSX, and Mark, we know where Mark's from. So we'll take a break and be right back.
that you be.
And we're back with Mark Fellhauer from Detroit Sports 105.1. Sean, Mark, and Maz in the morning, starting next week when Mark's back from vacation. And today, well, as you hear this, it may not be, but as we do this, it is June the 28th, the 40th anniversary of Bruce Jenner's gold medal in the decathlon. Is it 40 anniversary? 40 year today?
Yeah,
on the 28th?
Yeah, because I'm 40 years old.
And he's on the cover of SI for this?
Yeah, you know, there was a big blow-up a couple months ago because there was the rumor he was going to be on, she was going to be on the cover of the swimsuit issue.
Mm-hmm.
So with just her medals, people were freaked out about that. But this is what it's for. She's on the cover of SI with the gold medal from because it's kind of an Olympics issue, Where Are They Now? Which, by the way, well, the Where Are They Now SI issue is always the best issue.
Oh, I love it. I do. I don't care what sport it is. Even Olympics is cool to me. Because they're people that you knew for 5 minutes one summer 12 years ago, and you kind of just forgot about them.
Yeah, so I'm sure people will be mad about that. Well, my problem with it is we know where she is.
Yeah.
Where are they now?
There's no.
She has a TV show.
Who doesn't know where the hell Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner is?
We know exactly where she is. right?
They say who else is in the Where Are They Now thing?
It doesn't, but you know, SI.com, and I meant to print this out, had a story about The Fridge.
Yeah.
Who they've done before, and where he is now, and not sounding too good for William the Refrigerator Perry.
Well, it was bad when we looked into him. I mean, let's face it, he was so huge and so out of shape and diabetic that he was just urinating in his chair, his favorite chair, day in, day out.
I know, yeah, that's funny. That's the one thing we all remember is that he just sat in his chair and urinated.
Yep, and dumped, whatever. He probably wore Depends.
Oh, God. Did they make him crazy?
Well, for Fridge to walk to the bathroom was such an ordeal that it was easier for him to just go in his favorite chair. But they made it sound like part of his favorite chair was the fact that he urinated and dumped in it regularly.
Oh, gross. Where's that chair? That's the Where Are They Now. I want to know, where's that chair? Oh, because you know, if he put it on his, you know, the street, the curb, somebody picked it up.
Oh, my God, yes.
Someone always.
Fridge's favorite chair.
Someone always picks it up. But it sounds like he is in really bad shape. He's only 53.
Now, what is, does he weigh 500 pounds or something?
I think he's in assisted living.
Oh, my God. Assisted living?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the article. But it sounds like he's like 500 pounds, too.
Oh,
his
boy.
Brother, you know, remember Michael Dean?
Michael Dean, Michael Dean, yeah,
Perry,
sure.
Said that he's convinced he's got CTE.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's believable. I mean, anybody could have it.
Fridge can barely walk, and then when he does, it's only with a walker. He's at least 150 pounds overweight, around 430, even 450, according to friends and family. He doesn't work with physical therapists or wear the compression socks or orthopedic shoes that he should. His hearing is terrible, but he won't wear hearing aids, so he ends up virtually reading lips unless you're close enough to him to speak loudly. He's got four children, and he doesn't see them much.
Well, what's up with that?
I don't know. Both his ex-wives are out of the picture. He lives alone in a retirement facility.
Oh, Fridge.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, I remember last time Ditka kind of went and bailed him out and got him off his ass and fixed his diet, and he lost a couple hundred pounds, and suddenly it was like the Fridge is back, and, you know, thanks to Mike Ditka.
He has diabetes and residual effects of a nasty thing called the Guillain-Barré syndrome, which he got in 2008.
What's Guillain-Barré syndrome?
I have no idea. I'm probably mispronouncing it. Tellingly, one of the concerns with the mosquito-borne Zika virus is that researchers believe not only its adverse effects, but also that syndrome, which creates neurological problems.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, poor Fridge.
Yeah, that's really sad.
They think he got that syndrome from a dental infection.
Really?
Yeah. In 2009, he was near death. He couldn't move. He was wasting away in his bed, dehydrated beyond recognition.
Oh, my God. That's when he lost all that weight. Yeah, he lost way too much weight.
Down to 190 pounds.
I mean, how just the whole thing is bizarre. The fact that he can gain 300 pounds, the fact that he can lose 400 pounds.
Oh, I don't believe Fridge. That. Wow, no, it's a sad story, but it's in SI if anyone wants to read about Fridge.
Yeah, I think I heard enough. Today also, well, the 28th anyway, I'm talking about Olympic anniversary. It's the anniversary of the national coming out of the bird, Mark Fidrich.
Oh, really?
Also 40 years ago.
Hey, it's the year of the bird shit in my world.
Yeah, no, and you know what? Because you merely referenced the bird shit on my door, I cleaned it off.
Oh, you did. I'm telling you.
If you had said, Drew, you got to get that off your door, I would have left it there.
There is bird shit everywhere.
Yeah.
It's the summer of bird shit.
No, it is. I am with you all the way on
that. And I saved a baby bird the other day, which I don't know why I bothered.
Really?
Yeah, he was fluttering around in the pool, so I picked up the skimmer and set him down. And then it became Birdwatch 2016. Seriously, I set him on the...
Is Charlotte involved?
She was. She was very concerned about the little birdie, but it was a cardinal. So mom and dad cardinal.
Oh, a cardinal?
Yeah.
How cool.
I didn't know that because it didn't look like a cardinal. It's a little baby bird. But then mom and dad were flying around screaming at me. I'm like, fuck off. I'm trying to help your stupid bird kid.
I know. Birds need to learn to communicate with humans better.
Humans,
when they're trying to help and they get all bent out of shape, it's like, look, I'm trying to help your fucking offspring, you idiot.
What do they
do? They fucked them up.
They fly away and then take a dump on your head.
Exactly.
The day Prince dies.
Any day, was the day Prince died? That was the day?
When the bird shit on my head this year, yeah.
Fidrich, it was 40 years ago today, he was 7-1, and the Tigers were on Monday Night Baseball against the Yankees, and Bird threw a complete game two-hitter. The Tigers won 5-1. They had 52,000 at Tiger Stadium.
Wow.
And they chanted for him, made him come out after the game, which had happened, I think, a couple times before, but it was the first time the nation had seen that. And he ended up, following that start, all of his road starts, they had huge crowds for a road start. Every home start was, you know, 40 to 50,000. The team was 20 games out of first place, and they still were drawing these outrageous crowds. In fact, in his 29 starts, they said he personally drew 901,000, I think it was, for his 29 starts, which is like 35,000 a game.
Yeah.
And I think the average
was
18,000 or something like that. So, yeah. Anyway, we've talked a lot about the Bird. It is the anniversary of the Bird's magical 1976 year. So, yeah.
Imagine if that was today. First off, everybody would have their camera phones out that night, filming his every pitch and move, and then never to watch it again.
Oh, I know.
Some people would be on Twitter talking about his ex-FIP.
Oh, yeah,
it's
right.
Not that good. His ex-FIP's only... Oh, brother. 318.
Hey, by the way, you know, you and I were talking about the ridiculous Cabrera hitting in the clutch numbers this year.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And Matt Riley was here yesterday on the podcast, and Matt was saying, look at his splits. He's hitting 156 against lefties.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's got one homer and four RBIs and 72 at-bats against lefties.
That's the joke about this lineup. They're all right-handed, yet they don't hit lefties until...
But they do hit lefties.
Until the White Sox came to town.
Miggy does hit lefties, though. He traditionally has killed lefties.
No, I know, but this lineup traditionally this year has not been
able
to hit
lefties. No, I know. You know, Kinsler's another one. Kinsler's a big lefty killer who is not killing lefties this year.
Okay, why?
I don't know. It's very strange. I think it's a fluke. I really do.
Do you just have trouble? Maybe, you know what? Have they faced as many left-handers as a team? Maybe teams are avoiding throwing their lefty at them because they're so right-handed heavy.
The 72 at-bats would be a pretty good indicator. Probably 18 times they faced a lefty and they've played 76 games. That's one every five games, a little over five games. That's not many.
No.
But there aren't that many lefties out there.
What do you think, 1.5 would be about normal? Don't teams usually
you got
want two in a rotation?
I think three righties to one lefty, I would say, is probably more the common. That'd be interesting to find that out.
I mean, that could be the issue, because then the White Sox come to town, and two of their best pitchers are lefties in Sale and Quintana. Actually, they faced lefties that whole weekend, because I think they faced the rookie that's a lefty, and they rocked them.
There's just no excuse for them not to hit lefties.
No, you're right. It doesn't make any sense, but I wonder if that is a factor, though.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to explain Miggy in the clutch either. That is just... I'm not sure who wrote the story today, but I thought there was a really good article about the Tigers. And there was one article about their starting rotation, and somebody else wrote an article just about the frustration of this 500 team and why are they a 500 team and what is the plan down the road. And he was really, I thought, being honest about Miguel Cabrera in that, yeah, he can carry a team, but he carries them for shorter and shorter stretches now than he used to.
Okay.
He really is not the Triple Crown Miguel Cabrera anymore.
No, I wouldn't expect him to be.
Well, he's pretty close to his prime. I mean, 33 is still a pretty good age for a major league player. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know what happened to his power the last 2 years. It seems like his power's back.
His power's back, yeah. That's the core. You don't think it's the core surgery?
No, I don't. I don't know. I'm not sure what to make. I mean, players are fading faster because they're not taking steroids now. So, you know, if you look at Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, not Hank Aaron, he was a freak, but a lot of the power hitters of the olden days, they typically start, their batting average drops pretty dramatically through their 30s. I mean, probably from 32, 33, 34. Mickey Mantle was like 32, 33. He started hitting 260, 250. But what's different about Miguel, though, is usually those guys maintained a lot of power.
Yeah.
Because you could still hit that run into one once in a while, as Jim Leland liked to say, but they just couldn't hit for the average. They struck out more.
Well, that's kind of why I feel it's, maybe it is the core muscle, the recovery from that, because his power does seem to be back.
Yeah. He's got 16 home runs, and he certainly has had his share of well-hit balls. That ball against Cleveland in the Friday night game, I thought he hit that thing out when Rajay Davis kind of juggled it and caught it. Oh, God, what a bitch of an end to a game.
What a perfectly way for them to lose this year, right?
I know. That game was horrible.
So dumb.
And this 0-9 against Cleveland is just, what the fuck?
Hey, Cleveland's for real.
60 runs to 20 runs for the Tigers in that relationship.
They can. This is my problem with that lineup. It can run into good pitchers, and they just go cold.
There's no arguing. No argument on this end. Their starting pitching is fifth from the bottom of both leagues.
That sounds about right.
Fifth from the bottom.
Yeah.
4.69. Over a run higher than Cleveland, but their 4-5 are so utterly pathetic. Their 4-5 together, I think, is 6.25 ERA. Pelfrey and Sanchez.
Sanchez is back to the pen now, by the way.
Good.
Yeah,
he belongs there.
Stay there.
Any comments on Pat Summitt?
I just feel
wonderful career.
I feel bad. She'll never get to meet her new grandchild.
What's going on with Tyler Summitt? By the way, he's 30. His career is 30-31.
Wait, you don't know?
Well, he knocked up his player, didn't he?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean, what's going on with him? He'll never coach again.
I hope not. I don't know, don't you think somebody will, because...
No!
Because of Pat's legacy?
No, not that she's
gonna give Tyler another job?
He knocked up one of his players! You can't hire him!
I know.
There's no way!
Is he still married to his wife, by the way?
Ooh, fantastic question.
I mean, she's a cute girl.
Well, you know, it's the player
No business being with her.
The alleged player that he knocked up. Looks a lot like her.
Oh, does she?
Do you remember when we were first watching that story on 60 Minute Sports about him and those two girls transferred? Do you remember that when we first watched it? They transferred from Marquette down there and we were like, you transferred for Tyler Summitt? Something weird's going on there. Boy, we're right. Something weird was going on there. He's nailing one of them.
He sure was.
Ugh.
Was he nailing her before she transferred down there?
That's the alleged.
No,
yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
What a piece of shit.
My God. It's funny. He doesn't look the type either.
No, not at all.
Rosy cheeked 12-year-old looking brat.
Oh, he thought he was hot. Thought he was something special.
Using all of mama's plays.
You know, how embarrassing to follow your mom into coaching women's basketball. If he coached men, if he coached high school or something, you know, based on the fact that his mother taught, I would say, okay, at least you're coaching dudes.
I was trying to think of an equal comparison to this. You know, Good Morning America, Robin Roberts was inconsolable talking about it today.
Oh, yeah, of course.
She was doing
Why is she so close to Pat Summitt, by the way? Did they get it on?
Maybe. I don't know. Because she played basketball. They could have.
Oh, Robin was a stud basketball player.
Huge basketball player.
Forgot about that.
So,
did she play for Tennessee?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
I don't think so.
No, I don't know. So she's talking about her in just this really soft tone and how she helps so many people out and blah, blah. And they cut to a shot, and it's like, Jets traveling! Like, just Pat ripping into an official. And it just,
I saw the same set of clips.
Okay,
yeah.
The juxtaposition.
Mouse wide, I'm going, what kind of fucking call is that?
But it's after this soft eulogy. It was, the juxtaposition was beautiful. So then I started wondering, is there a male equivalent that if they passed away, you know, from a horrific disease like Alzheimer's, that they would be talking in such soft tones like that? No. Of course, Bobby Knight, you know, choked that kid out and threw a chair and, you know, but he was as gruff. There's gruff men's coaches, but because she's the first women's coach.
When you mentioned the soft tones, I immediately was thinking of Howard Cosell when he would talk in that extremely low voice. Because he's talking about that man, Muhammad Ali. I loved it when Howard used to do that. It was so hilarious.
We still have to get Mark Patrick on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We will. I think we can do that. And how blown away to find out that Mark Patrick, TC from Skycrib, has a son in the major leagues.
And a good pitcher, too. Just Doran.
Damn right.
If you do it, can you make sure that it's the day I'm here?
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
Yeah. We got to wrap it up. Sorry about that.
It's all right. I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
I was bringing nothing to the table
today. We can do an extra long one on Thursday to make up for it.
Do we have to? No.
I don't know. If we want to, if we feel like it, if the material warrants it, which I think it will.
Okay, Mr. Lane.
Have a good one tomorrow. I think we're going to the bench. Deep to the bench. And then, of course, Mark is back on Thursday. I think LaDuff is going to be here Friday, which is a surprise because we thought he was going to be on Route 66. But more on that to come.
Okay.
So everybody have a great night and see ya!